Well, I have to start when I was just 8 years old. My testimony is really long, but I was planning to cut, if I can, something off. And my testimony is not easy to say. I never did give my testimony no way out from my family. Only my family heard. And the Wilford, I did, but he will come in. I did speak to him about it, but not all like I was explaining to Pastor Timothy. Well, you all know we was all passing through the war. Not all, some of them are born after war. So you don't know what is at war. And happen in every single country when it's the war time that was going around, some kind of army who was catching people, a man who was home, who didn't been in the army. Can you hear me? Who didn't been in the army. So one morning, my father, he was wearing uniform because he was guard the round city. What is called? Guard?
Is a policeman?
Like protection guard.
Security.
Yeah, and he was half day free, and he said to my mom, he said, you go and buy everything what you need, because in the winter we didn't have TV, we didn't have radio. We were sitting and doing with home, with all handwork. He said to my mom and his sister, my mom and sister was going in the city. We was out from the city, like in the Ascot Wildland here.
Where was that? What city?
In Yugoslavia, was called Yugoslavia.
Right.
Now it's a separate, now it's five, a separate in the five states. So he said to my mom, go and sit in the city and buy everything what you need, because I don't know when I'm going to have time again off. So my mom and my auntie was gone early in the morning. And about 9 o'clock, I remember, beautiful day. And about 9 o'clock, my grandmother running to our house. And she said to my dad, run, run. She said, they're coming. They collecting men. They're catching all men. She didn't know what they're going to do, where they're going to take them. And they already have my grandfather, and they already have my youngest uncle, which was young. So, and she running, and she said, run, run. She said, they're coming. Behind our house was already a forest. So my dad ran in the forest, and my grandmother, she grabbed three small ones. I was the oldest, 8 years, and I was a younger brother and two sisters. And she grabbed these two and take them home with her. And she said, you stay home here and wait for mom when mom come. I didn't know when mom will come. Anyway, between our house and my grandfather's house was another house. And from that house was the young man in the army, which is called Ustashe. And the leader was Ante Pavelic. This, and the Ustashe and Ante Pavelic, he was the leader of Croatia, like a prime minister. They was working with Germans. So the neighbor's son, he was in the Ustashe. And they know that my father is not in the army, but is just guard, protector, the round city. They left army in the house. They know my father is run away, and they left 10 soldiers in the house. Nobody didn't tell me. My grandmother was gone. I was left behind myself. And 10 soldiers he left in the house, and all other soldiers was gone, captured the round men. And I just knew that it's exactly number of 10 soldiers in his house waiting for my dad. And my dad come home afternoon, and I said, why did you come home? He said, that's okay. He said, they're all gone. I said, no, they are not. I said, the meal have 10 soldiers waiting for you. 10 soldiers. I don't know, but I knew exactly number. And dad said, no, they're all gone. They're gone. All right, but I think why you don't believe me? And we was have a pear tree, fruit tree in the front garden, and this can see right to their house, and I want to be even higher because I was short. I want to be higher to see first when they're going to come from the house, soldiers, and I'm going to tell to dad. I just come up on the tree, and I see soldiers coming from that house. I'm screaming to dad, run, they're coming. And he ran. But the dogs gave him up. You see, nearly every second house was have a dog, and the dogs was barking, and they was running after him and catching. Mom come home, I said everything what's happened, and mom said, we saw people on the road where there was have thousands of people chained up from the chain, so that one after another was chained up to the chain, and they dragged these people to the prison. Well, not very far from us, it was prison which was called Beautiful Head. In my language, would call the sign Beautiful Head, and if I translate on the English, it's Beautiful Head. So they took these old people who they captured to the prison, and who was very old, not old enough to be for army, they beat them very heavily. Who was very young, they beat them also very heavily, and they sent them home because they didn't have very, very big prison. So they sent them home. Many of them come home and die of the beating. My grandfather didn't live long. And my uncle, he was long time sick, very long time that he recovered. My dad was left in the prison. And one neighbor, also close neighbor, was with my father in the prison in the same cell. Well, after war, when war was finished, the prison was open and the prisoners can go home, who was still alive. Our neighbor come home. And he come to our home. He said to my mom, don't wait for him. Don't wait for your husband. He will not come home. He said he was beaten one night, so heavy, he said, that he himself knew that he will pass away that night. And he said to neighbor, if you survive, if you ever go out from here and meet my family, tell them that I love them. And my dad died that night. Anyway, our life was very heavy, very hard, because after war was no way, nothing to buy. All shops was empty. Nothing to buy at all. No food, no clothes, no nothing, absolutely nothing, didn't come from nowhere. Only rich people who was hiding a lot of food, they have a food. And my mom, we was really blessed that my mom, she was cook. She was cooking in the restaurant. And all food what was left from the in the evening, what nobody didn't come anymore, that she bring home. So we have food, we was not hungry. Then we have some relatives in Canada. And when they heard that my dad is passed away, It was come every second month, very big parcel, full of material. So my mom was sewing to the time when I was 14 years old. When I was 14 years old, she was have this old single on the foot. And I was start to sew that myself. And from that time, I was sewing for my sisters, for mom and me. Praise the Lord, we was always have a clothes. So slowly, slowly, was life was recovering and we grow up. We was have a school. She done all what she could for us, my mom. She never been married. Was four of us. And slowly we grow up. But I know we never didn't talk as my sisters and my brother and me, we never didn't talk about our feeling. But I was have incredible feeling all the time. Hurtful, painful feeling to miss my father. I miss him very much. And time was passing and passing to the time when I come to Australia. I'm cutting off a lot. When I come to Australia, I become Christian. And I was go to church in the Milestone Church, which was called Westside, Christian Westside Church. You remember that? And Casey, Pastor Casey, he fell with woman, he left church. Left church and left his wife and his children for another woman which was married also. So it was very hard. We was looking for churches. But before that happened, that was young man in the Sunshine where we was going have a house Bible study like here tonight. And one night I come and David Stegman said to me, I come early. I was second, but I was early. And David said to me, we have a new man here tonight. I said, where is he? He said, he is in the sitting room. Okay. I come to him and I said, oh, hello, hi. And he speak my language, okay, Yugoslavian. And we was have a couple of words. Well, I said, hi, how are you? He said, good. I said, you first time come here? He said, yeah. Are you by yourself or family here with you? He said, no. I said, where is the family? He said, they're still in Yugoslavia. This time was still Yugoslavia. He said, they are still in Yugoslavia. I said, who you have there? He said, I have wife and daughter. I said, how come you can't bring them here? He said, I can't because I run. I said, you say you run from where and why? He said, I run, soon was war finished. And he said, because I was in the beautiful head. Now I asked him, oh, I said, oh, was you prisoner there? He said, no. He didn't know that I knew where is the beautiful head. He didn't know how far I was living and where from. And he said, oh, no, no, I was not prisoner. And I said, what in the earth did you do there? And was not army post there? And then he knew that I know something about that place, and that was prison. And I said, well, I know a lot of beautiful head. I said, my dad was prisoner there, and he died in to be beaten, heavy beaten, not just him, a lot of people was died just because was beaten. You know, I never in my life, when you people sometimes say, oh, I see his face fell down. But I tell you something, I never, never in my life see face to fall like this face. Incredible. But we couldn't talk anymore because people will start to coming in. And David coming in too, the leader of the house. And we didn't talk anymore. And we would have study. I think I will go and talk to him after. But before that, I stand in front of him, and my pain all my life was so, so heavy to miss my dad. And I didn't have a hate. I was just upset all my life for that. And I didn't want to hate him. I knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. Because he was not there as a soldier. He was there as a prosecutor. I knew what he was doing. But in my ability, I would not be able to forgive or to be set free from that pain at all. But God poured something all over me. God poured such a love for that man that I can love him like a baby. I can love him and serve him. And if I have to take care of him, I would, for no any kind of remorse. So I was thinking I'm going to talk to him after Bible study. But what's happened? Soon, David was finished with Bible study. He got up and walked out. He even didn't say good night to nobody. From that time, I met him a couple of times in different places, churches. He would come some evangelist, I would go to here. And if he come and see me, he would leave, he go. And now once I was come here and I was explaining to Wilford, which was pastor that time, and he listened, and then he said, what was the name of that man? I told him name. You know who he is, but I can't tell you because you are a long time here. And I call him Bob. I just call him Bob now. And I say, and he said, but I know that man. Wow, he said, I know him. And sometime when we were speaking, that phone rang, and pastor said to me, oh, I'm so sorry, I have to take that. That's going to be a little bit longer. And I said, okay, goodbye. We never didn't discuss this anymore. I never didn't find out how he know him. Maybe he was in this church a long time before. Anyway, who remember we was have American singers, gospel singers here? You remember that? Yeah. You remember? I sit all the time with Margaret on the back, and I was sitting there with Margaret. The table was set up for dinner after all what would be finished. I sit there with Margaret, and the Wilfred come to me. And he said, do you see him? Did you see him? I said, who? He said, the Bob is here. Oh, where is he? He will sit here somewhere. He said, oh, he sit over there in the front. He pointed from the back. He said, he sit somewhere here. I said, don't tell him that I'm here. I said, otherwise he will leave. He will not have dinner. I want him to have a dinner. And he said, okay. So I was hiding my face all night of him. And I was sitting on that little table with Margaret, and he was sitting on that in the table on the corner. And I was hiding myself from him that he will not see me. After he was come to the table where I was sitting, but next table, But he was facing that way and talked to the one singer, American singer. I was sitting on that small table, I was facing that way, so he did not see me yet. But I said to Margaret, I said, Margaret, when you see this man to get up, this singer get up, tell me. And Margaret said, oh, he going now. So I get up and I go sit next to the Bob, which was the empty chair. I said, hi, Bob, how are you? Oh, I'm good. And he said, oh, but I don't have time to talk. I must go to the toilet. So I think, yeah, okay. But I knew, like always before, he just go. He get up and walk out. He didn't come back. I knew that will happen. I just knew. Anyway, the Wilfred was watching all the time, him and me, if we go and meet, and what will happen. Nothing will happen. I forgive him. I loved him. No more in my heart, nothing at all. And when I come home that night, when I was in the meeting, in the prayer meeting, Bible study, when I come home, I start to pray, and I said, Lord, I forgive him. And I forgive him for everyone, whoever he done any wrong. Lord, forgive him. And I tell you, my pain, my hurt was gone. Just gone. I was free. I'm free now from that for 25 years. But I was carrying that hurt and that pain about 47 years. So, anyway, I was jumping. I forgot this to tell you. So pastor was watching that night everything what's happened, and when I was just have two words with him, he get up and walk out. Wilfred coming to me, and he said, oh, I saw you. You was talking to him. I said, I just tried to talk to him. I said, but he left. I told you that before. And I said, if he knew that I am here, he will not have dinner. That's why I told you, don't. I want him to have a dinner. So he was gone. But I am free now, and I pray that God will forgive him. I think he must be now close to 100 years old. He was old when I met him here. And I don't know, I never see him after, I never heard nothing about him. I don't know where he is. But that is my story. Now, who pick up from you, what is this story about?
Forgiving the person who persecuted, probably he might have killed your father. Could have beaten him.
It is about forgiveness. You see, when I met that man, I maybe, if I would be very angry on him, who know what I can do, or if I be man, who know what I can do. But I forgive him. Doesn't matter what he done, Lord knows, and Lord is the judge. He will judge. He has perfect measure of judgment. We can't judge. I never judge. I don't know how to judge somebody. Because I don't have no measure of judgment. Only God has measure of judgment. So this is only about forgiveness. And Lord tell us in his prayer, forgive, you're going to be forgiven. And if we keep grudges, if we keep anger, if we don't forgive, this is not my word. This is the word of Lord Jesus Christ who teach us how to pray. And if we don't, we're not going to be forgiven. No. I'm going to just tell one little another testimony. I met a man and he became Christian in my house. And he said to me, I want you to speak to my wife. He said, she's very, very hurt. She will not come to the Lord. She can't understand why God allowed things like that happen, what's happened to her. Her father molested her when she was a very young girl. And she was have very, very heavy anger against him, unforgiveness against him. She said, she have to come and talk to you. Maybe you will help her. I said, yeah, bring her. So he bring her to my house, and I was talking to her, and she explained to me everything, and she said, I just can't forgive him. I will never forgive him. I said, no, this is not right what you say, never. I said, this life, our life, your father's life, doesn't go forever. But you said you will forgive him never. I said, this go much longer than our life or his life. I said, you just, if you keep, you can say, maybe you can't forgive him so long he live, but not so long forever or never. Forever and ever, she will never forgive. I said, we can't do that. We can't keep these grudges. So I was very happy that God bring me here from 12,000 kilometers to meet that man here too who was trying to escape. And God bring him here. He was thinking that he is safe, that he will never meet nobody. Well, he didn't know, I didn't know, that we will meet here. Did he hit my father that night? That's not point. He hit nada. And but I forgive him, and I'm free, and I pray for him that he will be free before Lord. That's my testimony.